Blog Talk Radio.
Finally, I'm finally free.
Hello.
Finally, I'm finally me. Finally, I'm finally free.
Of the Black Girl Nerds podcast. My name is Jamie. I'm your host. Tonight is a special night. I know that this is a different night than what you guys usually are used to, but we have a really special guest by the name of Carolyn Malachi. She is a Grammy-nominated singer and social philanthropist. She's our guest tonight on the podcast, so if you want to take the opportunity to talk to her, ask her questions, give us a call. Our number is 347-237-4616, and if you want to join us via Twitter, use the hashtag BGNPodcast. Co-host tonight is Angelique, and Angelique will be asking questions along with me to Carolyn. But before we get started, just want to ask or just want to give a couple of announcements first. Our first announcement is thank you to the Black Weblog Awards. You've nominated Black Girl Nerds as Best New Blog and Best Podcast. So thank you guys. We put a lot of work into doing these podcasts every week, and Angelique, along with several other contributors, provide content each and every day to the Black Girl Nerds blog. So thank you, ladies, and thank you all for your support. And then also, continued support. Thank you for purchasing the mugs that we have on Zazzle.com. So if you go to Zazzle.com/blurredgasm, you can purchase a BGN mug. We've got mouse pads on there. We've got T-shirts. So for those of you that have already purchased merch from us, thank you so much. The proceeds for that does help fund these podcasts. So we really do appreciate your support. I'm going to pass the virtual mic over to Angelique, who is our co-host tonight. Angelique, just give us an introduction about yourself and any social networking shout-outs that you'd like to give to our audience.
Awesome. Howdy. Of course, I'm so excited to be on here tonight. I write and I'm a contributor for Black Girl Nerds, extremely proud of that, and we'll be launching my new website this month, Politique et Noir, which is going to be talking about politics, life, and basically any and everything having to do, because everybody knows that politics is local. I'm also a social networking politico by day. I work for a nonprofit organization called Moms Rising that does social activism dealing with moms and economic stability for families. You can find me currently at Angelique Roche at Twitter, as well as AngeliqueRoche.com.
Awesome. Cool stuff. All right. So our guest tonight is Carolyn Malachi. She is a Grammy-nominated recording artist, songstress, and social philanthropist. Her grandfather is John Malachi, who was a famous pianist who worked with such jazz greats as Dinah Washington, Pearl Bailey, and Sarah Vaughan. Her new album, Gold, was just released on July 30th, and this is her full-length studio album. Welcome, Carolyn, to the show.
Hello. How are
Hi,
you?
Hi, Carolyn. Good. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. So glad to be here.
It's awesome to have you, and thank you for taking the time to talk to us on this podcast. We're going to start, Angelique, you have a question for Carolyn, and then I wanted to go ahead and talk about your background as well.
Oh, fantastic. And this is kind of really awesome for me because I've known Carolyn and followed her music for a really long time, and it's just great because the new album is just absolutely wonderful. But I know one of the amazing things is that it's kind of one of those things that has been kind of deep embedded in your life. And Jamie mentioned your grandfather as well as other influences. But I'd love to kind of hear about, you know, you've had this amazing journey in your life. And we all as like Black Girl Nerds have had so many different things that have influenced us, be it from our parents to the music we listened to the place that we grew up. And I know you're a Maryland native, and you went to school in Maryland. You've really given a lot back to the community. But could you tell us a little bit about your journey and what influenced you and your art as you were growing up?
Wow. I think more than anything, my family provided such a strong platform for me to start this work. And for me to have something substantive to say as I guess, pursued music. So, you know, you can matriculate to college, but I think I've matriculated to the University of Malachi Mitchell Family. And the lessons that they've taught me have just really helped me to grow everything from, you know, knowing my great-grandparents and some of their things, like, you know, maintain yourself and, you know, keep plugging away. I've just been always not necessarily, you know, forced to move forward, but definitely encouraged. And it was made clear to me from, as a kid, it was made quite clear to me that it was my job to excel. It's my job to succeed because so many of my elders struggled for me to be in a position to be successful, to at least have a shot at the life that I want. So I think that's just sort of how I've lived my life, and the one constant in my ever-changing journey is this will to succeed.
Definitely, definitely. Family is really important. That's really, really awesome.
That's a beautiful thing, yeah. And you come from a very musical family. Your grandfather, as I mentioned in the bio here, was the famous pianist and composer John Malachi, who worked with Dinah Washington, Pearl Bailey, and Sarah Vaughan. Can you tell me how that influences your music and the way you view the music industry?
Oh, sure. Quite easily, actually. From, you know, my interaction with my great-grandfather and from stories that my family has told me about him, I mean, from that to listening to his music and listening to his arrangements, I do know that he was the quintessential individual. He was his own person, and he respected other people for their differences and always encouraged even his students when he taught at Howard University. He encouraged them to find their own voice and to be, I guess, jugglers in a sense, you know, juggling the different responsibilities of being a musician. So I think what that does, it gives me a little bit of courage to be who I am naturally and to always find ways to improve my craft and to be a leader when I need to be a leader and to sort of, you know, fall back when somebody else needs to step up and take the leadership role. It also empowers me to play several roles within the music industry, whether that's being a performer or a songwriter or maybe sometimes an art curator or something like that. So it just gives me a lot of license to just be myself and then be creative and know that what I have to offer is unique and valuable. So I will say that it has a tremendous impact. That mentality has a tremendous impact on how I carry myself in the industry. You know, it's even though we're creating art, it's still an industry and there's still it's still a marketplace out there, and you know, there's various products in the marketplace, and people talk about competition and so on and so forth. All those factors are very real. So when it comes to the music I make, and you know, whether I'm concerned with my product matching or, let's say, mimicking or meeting the expectations of other products in the marketplace, like pop music or going mainstream or so on and so forth, I feel absolutely no pressure to do that. The only pressure that I have is to be true to the music, and that is the standard that my great-grandfather set.
Wow. And it really shows through your music. Like, I don't think I've ever heard one song that is anywhere near a copy of another song or similar to another song. You just really, really keep developing your different avenues and really trying and taking risks into doing new and different sounds. And, you know, one of the things, you know, if people don't know, you're an independent artist. And in 2010, you were nominated for your first Grammy, which, you know, is hard by far, but for an independent artist, it's something that is, it's just a huge, major accomplishment. And now as a member of the Recording Academy and a governor for the D.C. Chapter Board, like, you have this ability to, like, really be a mentor, particularly for young artists out there who are trying to do the same thing and not trying to, you know, for lack of a better word, sell their soul to the industry because they want their music out there. And, you know, it's something that I think a lot of people are searching for when they're trying to develop and reach those goals. How do you feel like, you know, I know we really talked about how that impacts your view, but, you know, does the record industry, now that you're part of the Academy and you have this major accomplishment, you know, you have the ability to kind of influence that, and has that kind of changed your path a little bit since the nomination?
Well, you're absolutely right. So I am an independent artist, and yes, I do have a Grammy nomination under my belt, and I am a member of the Recording Academy, and I'm also a governor. I'm on the Recording Academy's DC chapter board of governors, which sort of makes me a leader in terms of, like, the local music scene. So here's something you might find interesting. Yesterday, I'm in Los Angeles at the moment. I had a beautiful performance
I'm opening for Jose James last night at in downtown LA at Stig and Seventh. In the morning, however, I had a performance at the Grammys headquarters, the Recording Academy's headquarters in Santa Monica. And before the band and I went on stage, we spent about an hour speaking to various representatives of the Recording Academy, leaders. These folks are extremely concerned with how ways musicians can develop themselves. They're particularly concerned with social philanthropy. They're also concerned with the preservation of music. So in each of those meetings, because there were about five or six different meetings before our interview and performance, that was my opportunity to ask questions. So I did that, and the questions I asked were very, you know, specific in particular to the Recording Academy. But as a governor, you know, as a member of the Recording Academy and governor of the D.C. chapter, I do know that it's, you know, my responsibility to, you know, be in this position and ask questions that, you know, other artists have. Even things as simple as, you know, how can we access, how, like a 30-year-old student, a 30-year-old college student who's interested in becoming a Grammy U member, well, how can they become a Grammy U member if they're a non-traditional student? So that's a question that is top of mind for a lot of non-traditional students who may not have an opportunity ever to be at the Recording Academy's headquarters to ask that question. I asked that question for them, and I got an answer. So now when I come back home, I can talk to my other members and say, hey, you know, this is the deal. You can participate. Here's how. So it's a matter of being responsible when given position. If you're given access to people and to experiences that can make you a stronger music industry professional, and you go forth and you walk in that space, I think the first thing to do, you know, once you've sort of settled in and you kind of know the ropes a little bit, is to reach back. So right. I know that I have the mettle for that, and a lot of people don't have the mettle for that. And that idea scares a lot of people, because it means you have to let go of some things. You have to let go of what people perceive as exclusivity. You have to let go of that idea. Because the truth is, or my truth is, the more you give, the more you receive.
Yes.
Period. And so why be an independent artist with a Grammy nomination, with the privilege and the honor of performing at the Recording Academy, why be in that space and miss the opportunity to advocate for hundreds of members in my chapter? That's not my style. So I just, I'm very happy to belong to the Recording Academy and have access to this information and these experiences and have the opportunity to take, you know, the experience back to musicians in D.C. and Maryland and Virginia to say, hey, you know, there are some people in L.A. who are really pulling for you. They really want you to excel. They have some amazing opportunities for you, and here's what they look like. I know because I've seen it for myself.
D.C. is, you know, really, really lucky to have you. But I know, I mean, and you said it, like a lot of people really don't have the mettle to do that, and I think a lot of it really has, you know, a huge impact of how the music scene, for lack of a better word, and how artists are going to be developed kind of here in the future in D.C. So that's absolutely awesome.
And if I wish everyone thought that way, like just above the recording industry and various industries, I wish everyone had that principle in mind that it's important to give back, especially when you are in a position where you can give opportunities to those who may not have the advantages that you have where you are. So I think that's a beautiful thing that what you're doing. I'm glad that you told us that story about being the governor. I didn't even know that, and being a leader in your industry. So I really appreciate that. We do have a question on Twitter from Baking Your Noodle.
Hi.
they ask, since you perform perform both jazz and hip-hop. What is the difference and similarity of the art forms?
What are the differences and similarities?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is a very good question. Well, I will say in terms of the similarities, and the primary similarity is the art of storytelling. You know, jazz is a little bit more abstract, I think, than hip-hop, at least when we perform it, but they both, actually everything I do, I really try to focus on the art of storytelling. I mean, in terms of the mood that's set, you sometimes can go very, very mellow with jazz or very light with jazz, whereas hip-hop, the way I like to approach hip-hop is, you know, aggressive, but still very sultry at the same time. So I think those are the main differences. And then with the instrumentation, I usually play with a keyboardist or a pianist, bassist, and a drummer. And when we play jazz, we definitely take more time to dig into the music. When we, like last night, I had the band take solos on several of the songs we played just because it felt so good. And, you know, we were under the stars and the audience was in the moment and we were all like in this wonderful rapture. So we would play like Love for Sale, which is a very popular jazz standard, and then switch to a hip-hop tune like Nothing, which is the first song on the Gold album, or then switch to that like a reggae cover. And it all just allows for this shared experience, this freedom, this sense that music has no boundaries and that music is a universal language.
Awesome. You, when you mentioned what you've done for the Recording Academy, a great opportunity with what we're doing with community building through Black Girl Nerds, I wanted to know what your advice is and what can you give Black girls that are trying to stay motivated on their musical journey?
I would say spend more time thinking about think about the people your music is reaching, and think about your story. Know that your story has value, and know that there are other people out there who share your story. I felt for the longest time that my voice had little value. That, and this is when I first started. I was in college and I, you know, had my first band or what have you. I thought that my voice was terrible. And I would not sing. I would only rap or do spoken word. And it wasn't until I got frustrated because I had a vocalist, had a background vocalist who was singing all the hooks for me. And I looked up one day and I just said, I really don't like this. I mean, she's cool, but I just really don't like this. Why don't I like this, Carolyn? Why don't you like this? This is supposed to be a good thing. And I didn't like it because somebody else was telling my story and they didn't have a connection to it. What I learned further down the road is that, one, my story has value. Two, my voice has value. Three, that there are tons of other women, particularly Black girls out there, who are experiencing many of the same things, issues with, for one, being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. We have issues with vulnerability. So we put all of our flaws out in front of us as if that's going to say to the other person, I'm tough. Here's my wall. I dare you to climb it. Well, anyone who knows better will take advantage of that and just take a sledgehammer and break right through. Like, our vulnerabilities, the things that scare us, often are the things that make us unique, and they often are our strength. We look at them that way. So just an example. But there are many people out there who have similar stories, and not only do they have similar stories, but they're looking for somebody to tell their story because they don't have a microphone, and they don't have a stick pin like you. And they don't have an amazing voice like you, but they've got great ears, and they have open hearts, and they have open minds. They're just waiting for somebody to sing to them. So the more you doubt yourself, the more you rob a listener out there of the experience of catharsis, which is very important. People just need to let go. Like, they need to be able to shed fears. They need to be able to laugh. And if your music can create escape or can create a shared identity, even for a second, you will have done a world of good for someone else. And you'll feel good about it.
That personal connection is something that's absolutely amazing. And I know one of the things I noticed also about your work, and I've kind of always noticed, is that you do things like include local artists, tons of women, people of color, but most importantly, and this is like increased like steadily as you've come out with more amazing singles and now with the full-length album, is that there's a significant aspect of philanthropy and community reinvestment. From your Texting While Driving campaign, which is collaboration with Fiat and the song Let's Get Textual, to your song Beautiful Dreamer, which is this amazing, amazing song that focuses, and the video focuses on awareness of school bullying. Can you kind of talk and kind of tell some of our listeners about some of the different campaigns, organizations, and causes that you've worked with and what your motivation is for integrating that philanthropy into your artwork?
Well, yeah, we've got, where do we start? Where do I start? So, Lisa, you were in the you were in the textual campaign. We'll start with that. So Angelique was, you know, a guest star slash, I mean, she was just a supermodel in this commercial we shot with Fiat. And I do want to sort of share a tidbit. So I'm a big fan of starting where you are and building from there. Like, if you want to see something happen, contrary to popular belief, you have every resource you need around you in order to make it happen. Trust me, this is true. So, backstory. I was driving late one night, and I was texting while I was driving. I stopped at a red light, and everybody says, you know, as long as you text at a red light, you're not texting while driving. Well, I beg to differ, because I thought my light had turned green. But actually, it was the green light for an oncoming turning lane. So I drove into oncoming traffic.
Oh, my goodness.
Thinking that it was my green light. Wow. Fortunately, I was very, very blessed to not have been hit by several cars. So I drove through the light, and, you know, I just thought, okay, I gotta do something about this, because I know that, you know, I was like, what is it that makes you do something as silly as text while driving? You must feel invincible. It's like, there's a lot of invincible feeling people out there. So let's do something for the invincibles. So I actually called up a local Fiat dealership, and I told them what I wanted to do, and it only took a few tries to get them to say, yes, we'll support it. They gave us a car for the day. They let us shoot what we wanted to shoot. And I worked with John Ledbetter from Sun Chase Media to tell this very fun story of a day in the life. You know, all of us are busy every day, especially Black girl nerds. We always have something going on.
Absolutely.
And we feel like if we don't respond to a text message, if we don't respond to an email in the moment, if we don't pick up a phone call, then we're missing something. We're losing step. But how about keeping your life in exchange for a few minutes?
Yeah.
So the gist of the video is simply waiting until you get where you need to go to return that very important message. So we shot that over, you know, a couple of days, and we used all local folks who are very much in their own roles. We used work with photographer Tatar Lindsay, journalist Marcus Jane Moore, you, Angelique, several poets, Love the Poet, Styles Bacon, even some fans, some tribe members, like Mario Herring came out to support, and Drew Law, who's big on the spoken word scene in D.C. So that was very much me saying to my friends, i.e. you, like, you're important and you're worth the wait. So just wait. Just wait. So there's that. Then there's the I Am campaign, which was a partnership between Chegg, which is the e-textbook provider. The Carmelita Group, they are a indie, like a boutique PR firm. They're based in the Bay in New York. And the School Fund, which is a education nonprofit. They help to supplement the cost of education for students in more than 15 countries around the world.
Wow.
So we used, you know, we all met up one day at the UN during the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Business Civics Leadership Center's Women's Day. And we had, you know, we sat and we watched workshops and the presentations, and we went to dinner after that and sort of strategized how we could use music as a means of, you know, creating access to global education. What we came up with was the I Am campaign, which in this past January used views of a Free Your Mind music video to we use the views like a windmill. So every view equals an hour of class time for students in East Africa, in Kenya, and Tanzania in particular. We ended up raising, you know, with the help of Chegg and some others, and Good Magazine, and with help from Bono's organization, One.org, Skies Foundation, Huffington Post, you know, all these folks came together to share this story in Good Magazine. I don't know if I mentioned them too. We ended up raising more than 10,000 hours of class time for these students, which I think is huge. I mean, the Grammy nomination thing is bananas, right? That never happens in theory. But to say that a song raised 10,000 hours of classroom time for students on the other side of the planet, That's huge for me. Like, I don't know if I can top that. I'm going to try. Because with that song, that music video, the song Free Your Mind is on the Gold album.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, you know, with every download of the album, every purchase, with every download of the album, we'll donate an hour of class time to the School Fund. So it just continues now. And it makes sense.
And in that video, you also feature a local young girls group called the Paratego Youth Association.
Yeah.
Get it correctly. And, you know, if anyone knows you, know they're near and dear to your heart. They've opened for you for performances, and it's a really great, and if you haven't seen the video, like, you really need to take the time and go see the video. Because it's a journey, I think, that many people have gone through of kind of having that challenge and really, you know, shining through despite any kind of obstacles they have. Could you tell us a little more about Paratego and how that's kind of impacted you and kind of your love for this group of young women?
Yes. I would be glad to. I'm glad to. So Paratego is... how do I explain this? It is a form of dance. It is South African gumboot dance. And so the group, the Paratego Youth Association, they infuse a lot of military movements, or the choreographers do, even some modern dance movements to really bring that art form to life. They sing, they rhyme, and they're just an amazing group based in Mount Rainier at Joe's Movement Emporium. And the group is called the Paratego Youth Association. If you guys missed it out there, look them up, paratego.org. And Paratego is spelled T-A-R-A-T-I-B-U. My personal connection is that the director of the organization, Mama Arla, her name is Arla Scott, she taught me as a kid. So I studied Paratego under her when I was a kid, and she's still at it now. And she is, I want to say, responsible for some of the songs I wake up singing in the morning. You know, you learn things as a kid, and sometimes they just come to you randomly. So when I was studying Paratego under her, we had various, mantras that went with the movements. Like, one was, you can't rule me, you can't fool me. My history is Africa. I'm king of kings and queen of queens. My ancestry is Africa. Like the things like that, and the various songs. So when you're a kid and somebody's feeding your head with all of this, like, I can business, it just doesn't leave you forever.
Yeah.
May leave you for a second, but it comes back. So when we were shooting the music video, when we were planning for the music video, I was talking to the director, John Ledbetter, and we originally wanted to go with a ballet dancer who was, you know, late to practice and, you know, went through the struggle of missing the choreography and trying to get her balance and whatnot. But then I thought about it. I was like, nah, I think I know who I want to call for this. So I asked them if they would be down to do it, and they said, yeah. And we shot with the actual group for 2 days, and then with the featured dancer, Moyo, we shot with her maybe, you know, 4 days in different locations. So it was a very extensive process, all shot in and around D.C. We brought in footage from the school fund because they had footage from being on the ground in Tanzania and Kenya. So it just made for this beautiful mix of energy. And the icing on the cake so far was being able to perform with the Teratibi Youth Association at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce's Citizens Awards last year. And so if you're unfamiliar with the Citizens Awards, think of it as the Grammys for corporations who do amazing social good projects and who are just really strong with bridging philanthropy with their corporate values. So it's like the nominees are Google, Pfizer, Caterpillar, and so on and so forth. So it was just a very wonderful partnership to be working with them, and I know that they are about to travel to South Africa. So if this group intrigues you and you like what they do, definitely check them out online, and I know that there's a way on their website for you to donate to them and maybe help them get to South Africa to perform.
Awesome.
That's awesome stuff. Yeah, we're tweeting and putting out that information to everyone listening. And speaking of Twitter, we do have a question from Thick Designer. She asks, who are some of the artists? Hey, Thick Designer. Who are some of the artists who have influenced you?
Oh, wow. Where shall we begin? Okay, definitely. Definitely, Sarah Vaughan. She did things with her voice that, you know, make you wonder if it's humanly possible.
Absolutely.
How is this done? Like her, and I know this is a fictional character, and know the character's not an influence, but just one of those, how is it done? But the opera singer from The Fifth Element, I so want to, like, see that piece on stage one day. But no, seriously speaking, so Sarah Vaughan, Barbra Streisand, such just a Renaissance woman who can do whatever she wants and does it, period. I think I'll write a score. Here you go. Here's a score. I think I'll direct a film. Here we go. She'll just direct it. So her, Pat Metheny is definitely an influence. Tom York, the Radiohead, Yasiin Bey, formerly Mos Def. Who else? Just so many. Kermit the Frog. Man, Kermit had some amazing songs on Sesame Street.
Yeah,
check out the Kermit
talk.
The Frog. Check out if you can find it on YouTube. There's a video of Kermit the Frog with Ladysmith Black Mambazo. They're doing the African alphabet. It's amazing.
Oh,
try that.
I remember
get
that
in your system. But yeah, and then just I think everyday people influence me. Like there's music in every footstep, in every blink, in every handshake. There's a note, there's a beat, there's a something. So yeah.
I just want to say the fact that you mentioned Kermit Frog just upped your Black Girl Nerd credentials.
Thanks,
so you just got some extra cool points for mentioning that. And speaking of Black Girl Nerds, you have a very eccentric and quirky style. Talk about, well, let's talk about lifestyles and individuality. Your wardrobe, your hairstyle, you have a very unique sense of self, which is very intriguing and very beautiful. Can you talk to us a little bit about your style and give some advice for Black Girl Nerds out there who are trying to find their own sense of unique style?
Yes. So my style is, I want to say, rooted in a philosophy, which came to be because of a change I wanted to make in my life. I wanted to be free of some things. I wanted to get rid of some self-imposed limitations. And so I grow my hair this way. I used to rock like a really, really close Caesar, dopest fades ever. But I decided to grow my hair out because I wanted a daily visual reminder of this philosophy, this onward and upward movement, that this trajectory that I'm on. So there's that. I just wanted that constant visual reminder of my path, and that's why my hair is worn this way. What else? I went vegan, so that was a part of the change. I did that about a year and a half ago, cold turkey, didn't warm up, didn't get rid of chicken first or beef first. I just dropped, all the animal byproducts, everything, because I wanted to train my system to live only off of things that come directly from the sun. Mm-hmm. And that just comes from a family name. One of my aunts named me, she nicknamed me Sunshine because she said, I have the power to give life to my ideas. And that's huge. So if I am to, walk in that sunshine, I walk in that power, then for me, I need to only, consume things that come directly from the sun. So I got rid of, basically, think of it as cutting out the middleman. Think of it that way. Don't want anything to stand between me and the sun. So I share that to say that you have to know what is right for you and what wearing a certain thing or doing a certain thing means to you. How does it reflect on you, or what are you conveying to the world? Yeah, I mean, that's important, but what's most important is your satisfaction. Are you satisfied with yourself? Are you happy with you? If you wear your hair a certain way on Monday, on Tuesday, one thing that works for me is, I will go out the house without makeup any day. Some people, and I'm surprised to learn this, a lot of people will only not wear makeup if their hair is right. Some people won't have, the hair
not
off
me.
And the makeup off, too, at the same time. If the hair isn't working, the makeup has to be working. But if the hair is working, they could do with or without makeup. I don't care. My hair can be on. I can be wearing my hat. I'll go out the house without makeup. I used to not go out the house without makeup. But I'm very happy with me now. So think about, what's going to make you happy with you first. And then I think your personal style will come together. Mine is still coming together. The other thing is it'll free you up to wear certain things. Some people will say, I'm an artist. I'm not going to wear a business suit. Why? You're going to a business meeting, aren't you? What's wrong with wearing a suit? That's right. Just my personal philosophy. So it gives you confidence and freedom to be flexible.
Speaking of the suit that you were wearing in the All Right video, the red one, that was pretty lack of better words, pretty bad, man.
thanks.
And one of the things I love, and I'll pop in this, that you always do shout outs to your designers and your makeup artists. I really have to give you props for that, for really supporting small businesses and really getting the name out there of the people who help put your style and kind of your flavor together on stage. And I've never seen you in off the rack anything, and it's really awesome. that you continuously, like, give the support to people who are following their art, even outside of music. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that suit was really bad. It was nice.
Thanks. Well, yeah, I mean, much love to Malcolm Staples for designing that. I mean, he didn't have to. He sort of just came to the table and said, I want to do this suit, and I really, really want to do this suit. Let me do the suit. I was like, okay. But I had to trust him. I had seen his work. He designed suits for James McKinney, one of my producers, and you know, James always rocks his suits, like, to the Grammys and whatnot. So when he offered to do the suit for me, I just sort of said, yeah. He came and he took my measurements, and he came back. The next time I saw him, he calls it the Red Monster. The next time I saw Malcolm, I saw the Red Monster. And I think my first reaction was holy cow and some tears after that. So I just trust people to do what they say they're going to do. That has served me more than being afraid that people will not do what they say they're going to do. Because either way, if I ask you to do something and you do it, I'm better off. If I ask you to do something and you don't do it, then I'm right where I am when I asked you. So I've lost nothing. But in this case, I didn't ask Malcolm. He just did it. My man.
Yeah. Awesome. I wanted to talk about Smart Chicks. It's not just a name of your second album, Revenge of the Smart Chicks, but it's actually a network of women artists called Smart Chicks, Inc. So tell us about the concept of this network.
Well, the concept, again, was formed out of just feeling lonely. And the first Revenge of the Smart Chicks album that I put out, I think, was a call to other women out there who were in the arts industry and looking for opportunities. Like, I just sort of wanted to bring us all together to figure out how we could make some economic moves, basically. But what I learned was that theme, Revenge of the Smart Chicks, spoke to so many women in various sectors. And Simone Jacobson was very keen. You guys should Google her. She's amazing. Her and Holly Bass, they were very key in organizing the Smart Chicks brunches, which would happen once a month or once a quarter, where we all just come together and, you know, share resources, share ideas and whatnot. What the community has sort of morphed into now, which I think is very useful, is it's like this source of employment. Like, Simone just has found a way to take the Smart Chicks Inc. concept and tie it to a real need that women, especially creative professional women, or women who are creative professionals, rather. She found a way to harness all of these opportunities for women in those sectors and send them out to the group. So that's how we've been serving as of late. And I think we'll get, you know, back to the Smart Chicks brunches when things start to quiet down a little bit. But my vision for it is to have Smart Chicks brunches after every tour date, and I would love to see that happen in the very near future.
Absolutely. She's absolutely right. Like, Holly and Simone are amazing. I've had the privilege to go to a couple Smart Chicks brunches, and just the kind of welcoming atmosphere that the organization has kind of brought women together to promote women in an area where there's not a competition. It's not, you know, people trying to be better artists than others, but artists really trying to bring together a art family, for lack of a better word, between women, and just doing the successful move forward. One of the things that I know, just kind of as you move forward, you've got other big projects coming down the line. Is there anything that, you know, as you're working through Gold and this new album and everything that you've kind of done, you're a really forward thinker. So is there anything big that would be looking forward out of the next couple of months?
Yeah. Quiet as it's kept, touring is really challenging. You have to have an amazing team to help you, and I'm very fortunate to have finally I have a complete team. Finally, the theme song. How cool is that? Like, finally I have this really cool team, and we're all very hard at work now, taking this album gold, which has been in the works. So we've talked about all of these philanthropic efforts and, you know, smart chicks brunches and videos and things and whatnot. All of that has happened while the gold album was being recorded. And remember, the gold album has taken 2 years to complete. Mm-hmm. So now that we have this 2-year project, we have it here, and it's live, and it's on iTunes and Amazon, and it's in my hands. Whenever you see me, you can, you know, definitely get one from me. It's our job now to take this music out to the people, to take it out to the world whenever we have an opportunity. So our focus now is getting out there. And by getting out there, I mean continuing the touring process. Over the past 2 weeks, we've been in Philadelphia, New York, Chicago, Washington, Baltimore, Orlando, and we're in L.A. now. We come back to Baltimore for a performance on August 10th with Jose James at the Baltimore Soundstage, and we will continue from there. So aside from making sure that we stay on the road to, you know, perform and to create this opportunity, just the more opportunities we have to use music to bring people together, the better, because we know that when people come together, we are powerful. We are so much more powerful than we are alone. So that is important to me. Also, what we've been doing lately, which I think is very cool and very true to who I am, is we've been bridging the music with tech. So we've had really cool partnerships with Shopcade, which is an e-commerce site. And so their users were invited to style me for several performances, one being the Apollo performance we did, which sold out, and for a performance on the CW network. So their users used that platform to create outfits, to create looks for me. And so the person who created the look that was closest to what I was planning to wear won the outfit. We actually did that for the All Right music video. And there's a young lady who crafted a look similar to the dress that I wore in the video. She won that look. And we're going to do that again for another upcoming performance. But here you have a mix of, you know, commerce, fashion, music, and tech. So we're also doing that with Flipboard, which if you haven't heard of it, you know, definitely check it out. It's a way to aggregate all of your social media platform, all your activities into one beautiful, I mean, amazing magazine. One magazine, two magazines, whatever. You can make as many magazines as you want. I've got a magazine for inspiration from the Gold album, which you can check out on Flipboard. So we're going to continue to work with them. We've got a really cool partnership with Argo Tea that we're working on. That's what took us to Chicago. We performed at their grand opening on the Gold Coast in Chicago. So we're looking to continue to work with them and make sure that you guys can hear the Gold album at many of the Argo Teas around the world. That's something that we're working on. So we have a lot of things that will continue to keep the music growing and alive, and you know, we're just really thankful to have the partners that we do, especially in radio land. We've got some great stations in Georgia that are playing the record now. WHUR has been sort of a mainstay from the beginning, and we're just going to continue doing what we need to do to take this music to the people, because when we play, we feel free, and we are just more than thrilled to create that sense of freedom everywhere that we go.
Awesome. Well, I want to talk more about your new album, Gold. It was just released on July 30th. So for those of you listening, it's available on iTunes and Amazon.com. Tell us about your new album. What inspired you to create some of the songs? And what songs in particular inspired you the most?
Wow. So the Gold album is definitely a record that speaks to
new strength, and it's there's a certain type of strength that you find usually after you go through something that's particularly challenging. It's a new faith in self, new faith in family, new faith in the Creator. It's just what I like to call a golden part of you, something that you've unearthed that's new and shiny and wonderful, and you wear it proudly. Mm-hmm. So I think that the past 2 years have been sort of an unearthing, if you will, of a golden part of me in my heart. And I, again, knew that this process, that process was my story. And now I'm unafraid to tell that story. And I'm finding the more we perform this music, you know, the more women I meet on the road who are, they're just like, where have you been? I just heard of you. And the look that they give me is not like, oh my gosh, I just heard of you, you're a superstar. It's, oh my gosh, I just heard of you, and I just heard myself. I just heard my story in your music. Where have you been? I've been waiting for somebody to tell this story. And that's just such a rewarding feeling. Honestly, all of those songs came to life at different points of that process. So it's very difficult to say which is, you know, the favorite, which one was the favorite to write. Because honestly, there were some songs I didn't want to write. I didn't, like, Don't, that features Tarabi Bonet. I didn't want to write that song, but I could not write it. I had to write it, because if I didn't write that song, I think I would have gone a little bit crazy, because I was holding on to this fear of being loved.
Mm. Wow.
That, and it was stifling me. So I asked Tabby to write, I gave him a character reference, which was Robin Givens' character in Boomerang. That was the
wow.
character reference. And I said, like, if you were writing to her, you know, and you were telling her, like, how you felt about her, like, you weren't Eddie Murphy's character. You were a genuine cat, and you wanted to love her. You know, what would you say to her? And he wrote so beautifully. He wrote exactly what I think that woman needed to hear. So there's that. And that song, I think, is a little embarrassing. But, again, it's comical now, and I'm glad it's out there. And I hope I get to perform it with him live one day. There's that. There's the song Choose Me. There's the song Finally, which you all are using as your theme song. It has a very interesting background. That song is actually not about a person. Finally is not about a person. I took some fears that I had, and I put them in one group, and I personified them. And I wrote a letter to those fears, and that's why the song came out that way. So every day is a holiday when you're away, because nobody's in my face bothering me. You know, are you for me or against me? What do you want me to be? And sometimes fear, they say fear is healthy. Some apprehension is healthy, because you have to be wise. Like, if you walk out into the middle of the street and there's a Mack truck driving down the street in your direction, I mean, that thing that pops up in your head that goes, maybe I need to walk back on the curb because I'm concerned that this truck barreling toward me might end my life. Like, that, you need to be a little concerned about that. You need to be aware of that. But then there's some irrational fear. Mm. There are some self-imposed limitations that we have that keep us from being excellent. And I decided that I would address those. I would address those fears. And so the song Finally is a direct address to those fears. So is the song Fall, Winter, Spring, Summer, which is a little bit more personal and sort of about a person. But definitely Finally has that very interesting story. But Gold, the title track, is the culmination of just everything that has been happening over the past couple of years, and making a clear decision to love myself in spite of what other people tell me I need to be, that has served me so well. And Gold
is definitely, I think it's a call to continue to unearth that beautiful jewel that's inside of all of us.
I think you just spoke to every single person who is listening to the podcast.
Yeah, just to say on Twitter, the Purple Page, she tweeted, "This is so part of my life story." So a lot of what you're saying tonight, Carolyn, is really resonating with our listeners.
Oh man, I thought you said you wouldn't make me cry on the air. Didn't we discuss that? That's in my writer. No tears.
Where are you touring, Carolyn? I know that this album just released, and you mentioned that you have been touring, and it's been a load on you, but where exactly are you touring, and where can our listeners go to see you perform live?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have one more stop on the official tour, and I'm going to take a little bit of a break, and that stop is in Baltimore on this Saturday, August 10th. We are at the Baltimore Soundstage, again, with Jose James. And we just opened for Jose James yesterday in L.A. So now we are going back to Baltimore to open up for him August 10th at Baltimore Soundstage.
And where can listeners go to purchase the new album?
Oh, please go to iTunes to purchase the gold album, or Amazon. You can check it out if you want to preview it first. We've got a really cool partnership with Spotify. Spotify is featuring the gold album I think they started featuring it on Tuesday, and they'll feature it until this coming Tuesday. So a very cool thing that just happened, which we didn't know was going to happen, which is gold is on iTunes top R&B albums list in the United States. And I just got word about 2 hours ago. Let's open up this very happy email here. I want to tell you guys this. Yes.
Are we getting an exclusive?
Also being... yeah, getting exclusive. Hold on. So, okay, I don't see it, but I'm going to go from memory. So, gold is actually also being featured on, new releases on RDO. It's being featured on iTunes UK, iTunes Denmark, iTunes Australia as a new R&B soul release. It's being featured on Amazon as a R&B soul brick release, and free tracks thumbnail too on Amazon GSA. So there's some really cool things happening with the record. Apparently people are loving it, and I want you to love it too, and I want you to hear your story in this album because it's definitely being told.
Yeah, I just found out it's actually Google has a new thing that does music as well, and I think I've found it on there too. So congrats!
Nice.
Congrats.
Thank you,
Carolyn. I know this might be something, I don't know if you can do it on the spot, but I feel tempted to ask. Could you just for a moment serenade our listeners with a sample of one of your songs on the podcast?
Sure. What song would you like to hear?
All right.
All right. But only if you sing the hook with me. You guys have to sing with me.
Hey.
See?
I'm down.
You're down, Angelique? Okay. So here we go. Baby, don't you worry. We can sort your day out together. Come and lay your burdens down on my bed. Honeysuckle primrose, lavender and you go well together. Let me rub your head and curl your toes. From the moment I get home, you should know it's gonna be alright. When I get home, we're gonna fight.
Oh,
together. It's gonna be alright tonight.
Very good, ladies.
Thank you, Carolyn, so much for appearing on this podcast and taking time out of your very busy schedule to talk to us. Her album Gold, guys, was released on July 30th. It's available, so definitely download that. You've got the exclusive of where you can go through Spotify to listen to it. Next week on our podcast, we will talk about blurred parenting. So if you're a mom, dad, and you're blurred and you want to listen in on this podcast, we'll have a panel of parents to talk about what it's like being a blurred and raising your kids blurdy. So tune in next week. It'll be at our same scheduled time at 7 p.m. Sunday on the BGM podcast. Thank you, Carolyn. This was awesome.
Thank you. Yes,
awesome. And thank you, Angelique, for co-hosting. I appreciate that.
It was my pleasure. My pleasure.
And you're welcome anytime, Carolyn, anytime when you've got time in your schedule, because BGNs, we got to stick together, you know? So.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, absolutely. Thanks. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Take care, about guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Finally. Oh,